The title of the message this morning is The Absurdity of It All. The Absurdity of It All. Now, last week, Daniel reminded Belshazzar that God let him learn a hard lesson the easy way. And that's the best way to learn a hard lesson, is to learn it the easy way, by watching someone else learn it the hard way, right? And that's the best way to watch it. And Belshazzar knew that King Nebuchadnezzar, his forefather, had lifted up his heart and pride against God. And so God drove him from the throne and put him out in the field to eat grass like an ox, until he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men. And now in Daniel 5:22, Daniel says, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." Now, if we look close this morning, we're going to see five occurrences in our text, and they naturally occur in our fallen world in this order. We're going to see five occurrences. We're going to break the text down into five different parts, and we're going to see five things that happen sequentially in our fallen world. If you're taking notes and you want to write them down ahead of time, I'll give them to you. History, you knew it. History, you knew it. Reality, you denied it. Idolatry, you made it. Absurdity, you believed it. Calamity, you will experience it. Those are five things that naturally occur in our fallen world. We're going to see it happen with Belshazzar, and we're going to apply it to our current time in our world today. And if you didn't get all those, that's okay. We're going to go through them step by step. First, we'll begin with history. You knew it. Daniel said, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." Belshazzar failed to believe in the present what he knew happened in the past. And we see this all the time today. When I was studying this message, I couldn't help but think of all the history that people know and yet willfully disregard today. I mean, history that nobody could deny, yet they willfully disregard it. In my garden, boy, I tell you, that rain, Brother Shepherd, this morning, have you got any of your okra popped up yet? A little bit? I tell you what, man, when it rains like this, I'm like a little kid. I promise you, I'll be out there looking to see what all popped up when I get home after church. And I love watching it. But in my garden now, and Brother Shepherd loves okra too, and I have some young okra plants that are in my garden, and one of them sprung up. I took a picture the other day. Still has that little seed at the top of that leaf where it sprouted out of that seed. And I tell you what, I've seen it over and over again, year after year in my life, and I never cease to be amazed at all those little seeds carrying out God's instructions to live, grow, and produce. It's like a little factory that comes out of there with instructions on how to convert dirt, water, and gas into food. It's just absolutely amazing. And they've been doing this, these seeds have been doing this since the very beginning. When God said in Genesis 1:11, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. Listen, it was so, and it still is so. A tiny seed is packed with DNA, building materials, life, and God's blueprint for it to go by. And let me tell you, I've been growing vegetables for a long time, and there is only one way. Now, I'm going to get a little cocky on this, all right? I'm going to defy anybody out here to prove me wrong. There's only one way to get an okra plant, squash plant, tomato, a pepper, or any other vegetable you want. For that matter, an oak tree or anything. There's only one way, and that's from a seed. That's from a seed. I challenge anybody to take a good piece of ground and grow themselves an okra plant without a seed. Can't do it. Could anyone do that? Grow you an okra plant without a seed. I'll give you the most fertile ground. I'll give you a free sack of Miracle-Gro on me. I guarantee you're not going to do it. And you may think, well, I can. I'll just go buy a plant at Atwood's. Guess where that plant came from? It came from a seed. A seed is the only way you're going to get a new plant, and every single time that seed will produce after its kind, just like God told it to, just like God told us back in the book of Genesis. An okra seed is going to produce an okra plant over and over and over again. And when I was a little boy, I used to follow behind my grandmother in the field, and I'd plant seeds as she poked holes in the ground. And I've watched those seeds grow since I was a kid. When you read history, they were also planting seeds thousands of years ago. You can only get an okra plant from an okra seed. And listen, you can only get an okra seed where? From an okra plant. I say, Brother Richard, that's oversimplifying things. Why do we need to come to church to learn that? I'm telling you, it's big. Barney 5, it's really big, all right? I'm telling you, this is big. You can only get an okra plant from an okra seed. And you can only get an okra seed from an okra plant. God did that on purpose, folks. God did that on purpose. And I challenge anyone here to find an okra seed anywhere else than an okra plant. And to find an okra plant that came from any other place than an okra seed. That is a fact that we know to be historically true. But the atheists are telling our children that vegetable plants originated from living organisms in the water, like in the sea, that on their own came out of the sea and transformed the vast variety of oak trees and squash and sugar cane and bamboo and tomatoes and okra and cucumbers and peppers and onions that we have today. No, sir, history tells us better than that. With all the variety of plants that we have on this earth, this transformation from algae to okra to onions to trees, corn, beans, and so on, it would have to have occurred over and over and over again for all those different varieties. And if it's so common and easy of a thing to do, how come we're not watching algae turn into corn today? How come we're not watching algae crawl up out of the ocean and become that stuff today? You say, Brother Richard, you said that getting an okra seed from an okra plant and an okra plant from an okra seed was a big. Let me explain why. I believe the scientific term is irreducible complexity. In other words, you can't get down any more simple than this. The seed has to come from the plant. The plant must come from a seed. And that brings us down to this big question. If a seed has to come from a plant, but the plant has to come from the seed, which came first, the seed or the plant? There's only one answer, Brother Doug. They had to come at the same time. It's the only way. There had to be something. Start that plant with the seed in it at the same time. And that's God. Which is why when you look back in the book of Genesis, God said, let the earth bring forth this vegetation with the seed in itself. Now folks, God made it this way so that simple people like me, just using your noggin, Which came first, the chicken or the egg? See how God did that too? It's a scientific fact. It's a historical fact that chickens come from eggs. We've got chickens in the house. Brother Carlos got chickens in the house. Y'all have chickens at the house. Y'all have roosters. So y'all have baby chickens. You grow your own chickens. Have you ever seen a chicken come from anywhere but an egg? Have you ever seen an egg come from any place but a chicken? Now, I'm talking about a chicken egg now. Irreducible complexity. They have to exist at the same time. When God created man, he created man to have seed within himself. When God created chickens, he created them to have seed within themselves. And God did so to prove you can't get a chicken without an egg, but you can't have an egg without a chicken. And something had to produce all of this simultaneously, at once, powerfully, intellectually, and that is God. That's historical fact. We've never seen it any other way. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. God made them both at the same time. Now, people are the same way. Evolutionists tell us that we also came from that same algae in the ocean. Do you know that? They tell us that we came from the same algae in the ocean. Folks, I've seen algae all my life. And I haven't seen anything come from algae other than a slimy mess. And neither have these scientists, and neither have you. And you're not going to. History tells us that you can't have a single boy or a single girl without having a man and woman present at the same time. Can't do it. I watched the other day. Was it Australia, I think it was? It was heartbreaking. This nurse came from the labor and delivery room with a brand new little baby, all wrapped up nice and neat. Took the baby from its mama, who didn't want to keep the baby, was walking all excited down the hall to a group of parents waiting for that little baby. And she walks in there and says, here's your baby. And it's two men holding hands, way excited. Oh, that one man, he's the female in the group. And he's just doing his chest like this. And they take their brand new baby. Folks, nature doesn't do that. It's defying nature. They're doing something that biology denies and rejects. But history tells us you can't have one man without having a man and a woman that one man came from, or a little boy or a little girl, without having a man and a woman exist at the same time. You have an egg. You say, well, the egg came first. Well, was it fertilized? You're going to have a chicken, a male and a female at the same time. They both have to exist at the same time by God creating male and female with the eggs inside her. And we could go on and on and on about this morning about what the history of the world already knows and yet denies. And that brings us, though, for time's sake, to the next part of our text. History, you knew it. Reality, you denied it. These are things that the world knows, yet turns a blind eye to. They absolutely reject it, even though they know it to be true. They deny it. Daniel said, Belshazzar, you knew this. You knew the history of what God did to Nebuchadnezzar, verse 23, but thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. You knew the truth of God, yet you denied it. If you ever wondered why this world is as crazy as it is, it's this sequence of events that we're seeing right here in Daniel chapter 5. Romans 1 verse 21 sums it up beautifully. It says, here's the reason it's so crazy, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now, how could you know God? The same reason we just talked about, that you cannot have a plant unless you have the seed, and you can't have the seed unless you have the plant. So they both had to exist at the same time, come into existence at the same time. And the world knows this. But when they knew God, when they knew something powerful had to create that, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. When I look at people in this world today and I see all the craziness going on. Did y'all see that woman in Canada, the alphabet? My goodness, we're going to have to get new letters in the alphabet, Sister Ann, to come up with all the different genders. It's gotten really big now. And when I look at all the craziness going on, do you know what we're seeing? You're seeing darkened hearts. They denied the light, and now all that's left is darkness. It's darkness. The first part was, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. So we've gone from history. You knew it. He says, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And we've gone now from history. You knew it, to reality. You denied it. They brought in the vessels of God's house before them so they could praise false gods. They denied the reality of one God. And so here's the thing. Those who disregard history will deny reality. Those who disregard history will deny reality. Now, the Bible is a book of history. We just read it where God said, Let the earth bring forth this vegetation whose seed is in itself. That is a book of history. The Bible is a century. History, law, and prophecy. If you just really boil it down, you could say history, law, poetry, and prophecy. But even the poetry is prophecy. But it starts with the words in the beginning. The Bible does. It's a book of history. But a world that disregards history will deny reality. And that consequentially causes them to embrace idolatry. This is how the direction goes. History, you knew it. Reality, you denied it. Our third part of our text, idolatry, you made it. Look back in verse 23. And thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. That is, you brought the vessels before me, which we just talked about a minute ago. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone. Belshazzar denied the God who made everything, but praised the gods he made out of those materials. People who deny the reality of the God who made them will ultimately worship a God they make themselves. You can't help it. We learned that a few weeks back, didn't we? We learned that those who oppose religion and deny the existence of God ultimately make atheism their religion and evolution their God. Even the agnostics, who say it's impossible to know whether there's a God or not, they ultimately worship a God that they make themselves. Because they say, I just don't know. Well, you can never really know if there's a God. And so they reject the Bible by saying it's not, they don't know if it's true. They reject it. They don't follow it. They don't believe it. And so they got to follow something in life, and whatever they follow is their God. It replaces God. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Look at that. You see, a person who's too stubborn to believe and follow what God says, they're going to have to believe and follow what they think themselves or what someone else tells them to think. That's why it says idolatry. They're substituting someone else's thinking, someone else's teaching, someone else's word for God's word. So instead of worshiping and obeying the Creator, they worship and obey the creature that God created, making themselves or whoever they're following a god to themselves. And once you embrace the god you make, idolatry, you become a believer of absurdity. You do. History, you knew it. Reality, you denied it. Idolatry, you made it. Absurdity, you believed it. Here they were with the vessels of God's house, drinking out of them and praising the gods of silver and gold, these precious metals and stones. Daniel said, you worship gods, look back in your text, which see not, nor hear, nor know. Now, folks, it's absurd to worship a God who can't see, hear, or know anything. The idols made from metal, gold, silver, and stone, they can't see, they can't hear, they can't know. And it's absurd to worship something as a god, once again, that can't see anything, hear anything, or know anything at all. It's absurd to believe that a non-living figurine made out of gold can know you, love you, care for you, and give you the power and wisdom and help that you need. In our vacation Bible school coming up this summer, the theme is You Are God Alone. And I have ordered, I've already got them, they've already came. I bought some gods, some idols. I got them there at the house. And I had to tell Tammy, quit praying to them the other day. No, I was kidding. But I've got these little idols at the house. And so I'm going to give them to Sister Elizabeth so she can use them as object lessons during vacation Bible school. I started to bring them this morning for you, but I didn't. But she can set those little idols up there. You know what she can do? She can take those idols, set them on her head. Show who's in charge of those little idols. Show who really has power. And teach those kids just how foolish, how absurd it is to believe that a little figurine that a man makes and calls it its God, to believe that little figurine has any power, any help, any intellect at all. It's absurd. Yet, millions of people bow down and worship these every day around the world. They do. I've got several different ones that are worshipped today. But it's absurd that a non-living figurine can know you, love you, and give you the power, wisdom, and help you need. Even a child knows their baby doll is really just a piece of plastic and not real. They know the difference between the figurine and the real baby, yet the grown adults are fooled. And this happens when people reject the reality of God. Here's a kingdom truth for you this morning. Those who deny God's reality will embrace man's absurdity. Those who deny God's reality will embrace man's absurdity. Again, when you deny the light, what's left? Nothing but a darkened heart. So those who deny God's reality, they're going to embrace man's absurdity. That's why you're seeing so much craziness in the world. Here's a good example for you. I don't know if y'all have been keeping up with this in the news, but currently in America, there is, to me, an alarming uptick of number of people who believe the United States government has been kidnapping illegal aliens crossing the border and bringing them to the military base where they can take those illegal aliens and breed with extraterrestrial aliens. How many of y'all know that people, this is really being pushed hard? How many of y'all have heard that? You have? You have? Now, folks, this is not some small number of folks believe in this. It's getting big. There's that word big again. It's going to be a lot of folks that are beginning to believe this now. They believe that they're breeding these humans and these extraterrestrial aliens and coming up with a hybrid human-alien person walking around. Former Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz, most of y'all probably know him. He said he was briefed from a member of the military on this matter. Retired U.S. Air Force Major David Grush says President Trump has been fully briefed on the existence of alien-human hybrids currently living here on Earth among us. Missouri Congressman Eric Burleson claims that the president has been briefed on the existence of at least four alien species humans hybrids that are walking around on Earth, four different species. You might be alarmed, but you need to hear it here to know that there is one of those species, a particular hybrid race known as the Nordics, which are humanoid in appearance with fair skin and blonde hair. You might have a pastor as part alien. Dr. Max Rimpel, he's the founder of the DNA Renaissance Research Foundation, he says the only way to know who is an alien is to check their DNA. And he says he has found alien manipulation of human DNA. Now, how would you know that? That's what he says. A 65-year-old woman named Maria Kukchia, she's 65, she says that she was abducted and impregnated by aliens in 1992. And she gave birth to a little baby alien boy, half human, half alien, named Elijah. Gave him a proper Christian name. Elijah. That same year, Vice President J.D. Vance says he thinks aliens are actually demons. Well, now to say that you believe aliens are demons, you're going to have to acknowledge that there is something like an alien running around. A recent poll I read said about 47%, almost half of Americans, believe aliens are either among us now or have visited us in the past. Nearly half of Americans. Meanwhile, another recent poll says only one-third of Americans believe the Bible is completely accurate. Now listen, as a retired criminal investigator, do you know what I find fascinating about all this? Where's that woman's little baby alien? Where's Elijah at? She's 65. She's still here with us. Where's that little baby alien at? Well, she explains, she's only been allowed to see him in a transcendent experience where she was caught up into the alien spacecraft and they showed her the child through the window of the spacecraft and he waved at her lovingly. It's the only time she's got to see him. People are believing this. They're believing this stuff. In other words, like the Mormon tablets of Joseph Smith that Mormonism is founded on. I can see them, but you can't. But you better believe my story if you want to go to heaven. Where are all the original aliens at? Where are they kept at right now? That these hybrids came from. Where are the hybrids at? That we're not allowed to see them either. None of these. Yet at the same time, people believe this. Almost half the people are falling for this now. It's getting to be very popular. I've even heard many Christians say that they believe that the Antichrist will be either an alien or pretend to be an alien. 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled Old Testament prophecies that were written about him. He taught publicly on earth. His life, his words, his travels, and the things he did are documented for us in history by eyewitnesses. And those eyewitnesses saw him publicly, not up in some transcendent spacecraft experience. Jesus of Nazareth was then publicly tried, sentenced, and condemned to die publicly on a cross for everybody to see. In John 18:20, Jesus said, quote, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing." That's the kind of religion I follow right there. Acts chapter 10, verses 39 and 40, the Apostle Peter said, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him," say that word with me, "openly." Now folks, the people in the apostles' day could have easily verified or refuted the gospel message, because his life, his crucifixion, and his empty tomb were a matter of public record. You won't see if his tomb's empty? Just go look for yourself. We're telling you it is. Go look for yourself. We're telling you he died on the cross. Tried under Pontius Pilate. Go search the records. Go talk to the people who were there. But we can't verify any of this alien nonsense, yet people today dismiss the gospel as a fairy tale and then believe the absurdity as the gospel truth. That's what happens when you follow this sequence of events we're looking at here in the book of Daniel. Example 2. Yesterday morning I saw an advertisement inviting people to visit the Choctaw Nation, because over 100 Bigfoot sightings have been seen in the Oklahoma area, and many of them are leading them to the Choctaw Territory. And they're going to be having a conference soon where you can go there and talk to real Sasquatch experts. And perhaps, they say, get a glimpse of Bigfoot yourself. Once again, those who deny God's reality will embrace man's absurdity. And that's why we have these atheists today. That's why we have all of these alphabet genders today. That's why people are believing in the aliens today and believing in Bigfoot today. Daniel said, "Belshazzar, you worship these idols you made," look back in your text, "and the God in whose hand thy breath is, in whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified?" That's the same as saying, you believe all this garbage, but you don't acknowledge the truth of Jesus Christ? It's absurd to reject the truth that God gives us breath and life, but then embrace the absurdity that something we make that has no breath or life, like these idols, can yet sustain our breath and life. That's absurd. It's absurd to reject the truth that God created everything, but then embrace the absurdity that everything came from nothing. It's absurd. Yet our so-called greatest scientific minds believe that absurdity, that everything in this world, all the matter, came from nothing. At no time in our human experience have we seen anything come from nothing. Has anyone ever seen anything come from nothing? You never have, never will. That is something that you can take to the bank. You can rest your head on that at night, just like a pillow, and sleep well, knowing that God's word is true, and these people have denied history, they've denied reality, they've embraced idolatry, they now believe absurdity. We've never seen something come from nothing. At no time in our human experience has this happened. If you want a pie, you start with ingredients. If you want a building, you start with materials. If you want a car, you better assemble some parts. Never in the history of the world has anything come from nothing, but that's exactly what must happen for atheism to be true. And it's not true. But atheists disregarded the history, they denied the reality, they embraced idolatry, and now they believe this absurdity. Which brings us to our last part of this text, which is calamity. You will experience it. Whoever goes down this path of denying history, knowing history, denying reality, making their idolatry, believe in the absurdity, whoever goes down that path ultimately will experience calamity. The God who constructed the world, if you deny the construction, you must experience the destruction. Just as if you deny the light, you're going to have to experience the darkness. Daniel told Belshazzar, after you knew the truth and you rejected it, and in embracing these lies, verse 24, then was the part of the hand sent from him that is sent from God, and this writing was written. In other words, the handwriting on the wall was the direct result of you denying the God who made you to worship the gods you made. That's where the calamity come from. Verse 25, and this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, which we're going to see next week, are the words of Belshazzar's impending doom. Now, this is fascinating to me, and we're going to take note of this, and then we'll close. Calamity, you will experience it. When all this happened to Nebuchadnezzar, the history he knew, all of that took place with God speaking through Daniel and telling Nebuchadnezzar exactly what was going to take place. They're going to drive you from your throne. You're going to go out there. That you're going to be wet with the dew of heaven. You're going to eat grass like an ox until you know the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomsoever he will. All that was God's word. Do you know what Belshazzar did, knowing that history and rejecting it? Belshazzar rejected God's word. And you know what now comes back in the end to judge Belshazzar? God's word. God's word, the word he rejected, ends up being the word that he's judged by. It's the same way for us today. It's going to be the same way for these atheists. It's going to be the same way for the people who reject the knowledge of Christ but believe the existence of aliens among us that nobody's ever seen. At least Bigfoot's got a footprint somewhere they've made up. The aliens have nothing. Those who reject God's word will one day be judged by it. Mark it down. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 48. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. When you see this handwriting coming up on the wall for Belshazzar, that is a picture of the handwriting coming up on the wall for every person who's ever rejected the word of God. There has never been a time in the human history, even back there with Adam and Eve, there's never been a time when God's word has not been present on this earth. Not one day has gone by without it. And the word that people have rejected is going to be the word that comes back and rejects them in the end. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. The same shall judge him the last day. God's word will either deliver you or it will destroy you. One of the two. Boy, we looked at that this morning in the book of Exodus there in Egypt. God's word, he said, I'm come down to deliver you, he told the Jews. And the word of God destroyed the Egyptians, and it delivered the Jews. God's word will either deliver you or it will destroy you. God's truth can be rejected, but it cannot be avoided. With that, we'll go ahead and close. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Father God, for laying out to us in your word such a clear step-by-step progression of the fall of humanity, denying what he knew, rejecting what he knew, denying the reality after rejecting the past, creating, Father, our own idols, our own substitutes for you. And in so doing, our heart is darkened, and we believe such foolish, absurd things. And Lord, in the end, your precious word that gives light, and man didn't want to abide in that light. He chose darkness instead. He rejected that light-giving word and life-giving word. The light and life he rejected rejected in the word will end up giving darkness and death. They'll be cast into outer darkness, and they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, Father, I pray, anyone listening this morning, dear God, to this message, I pray if they do not know you and your Son as their Savior, I pray, dear Lord God, that they will embrace your word today. Acknowledge that you are God alone, that your word is the message of God to man, and that your Son is the only way for us to be delivered from our sins. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.